Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business, legal, politics, health, lifestyle, and entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the greater Houston community from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with Lawin Media Network.
The following program is produced by Lawin Media Network. The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the individuals appearing on the show and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Lawin Media Network, its affiliates, sponsors, or partners. The content provided in this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Lawin Media Network does not guarantee the accuracy, completeness, or timeliness of the information.
Hello, good evening, and magandang umaga to all our viewers in the Philippines. Welcome to our third episode of Season 3 of Be Bold, Why Not? And again, our theme for this season is Lead with Passion. So as we've been doing for the past couple of episodes for this season, we have guested a lot of our community leaders. And tonight, we have another special guest, and he is a very great leader, world-renowned speaker. He has all the qualities that you can ask for a leader. But of course, you are watching us live on Facebook, YouTube, stream.lawin.live. And if you miss our live show, don't worry, because you can listen to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and a lot more other platforms. And as we always do here at Be Bold, Why Not? We have a game. So for all our viewers, again, watch the mechanics of the show. Well, seems like we're not ready for the mechanics. So I'm just going to tell you now, the more comments you have, or if you have any questions, shout outs, whatever it is, you will have more chances of winning at the end of the show. We have the Wheel of Names where we're going to draw one winner and you're going to receive a prize. So again, our viewers, please, please, we encourage you to participate by asking questions or just share your thoughts, share your experiences. Be bold. Don't be scared. Speak up. Voice out, right? Voice out your concerns or stories, if you want to share your short story, just a little bit of about you or whatever you want to share about our topic, which is about leadership, be bold to do it, okay? Anyway, without further ado, I'm going to just give you a little bit of a background of our guest for tonight. So our guest for tonight is no other than Dr. Jonathan Gekomo. He is a dedicated healthcare professional with 30 years of experience in progressive management. Currently serves as the patient safety and risk manager at Baylor St. Luke's Medical Center and adjunct professor at University of St. Thomas and visiting faculty at St. Paul University, Manila. He is a doctor of nursing practice, a prepared registered nurse, and a board-certified nursing informatics specialist. Dr. Gekomo has made significant contributions to the integration of technology in healthcare and ushered St. Luke's Hospital during the transition to electronic health record as manager for clinical informatics. He is also the president of the Philippine Nurses Association of Metro Houston, with the mantra of one PNAMH, one family, and he's gonna explain that to us later. A renowned nursing speaker locally and internationally, and with a passion for improving patient outcomes through innovative practices, Dr. Gekomo is a leader in nursing informatics, safety and risk management, and an advocate for the advancement of nursing education and practice. Wow. Let's give a hand of applause to our very special guest for tonight, who's going to share his insights about leadership, Dr. Jonathan Gekomo. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you, MJ?
I'm doing well, and how are you?
Well, having a lot of outdoor activities because it's 100 degrees outside, so experiencing the heat of Houston. No, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, me too. Well, actually, I'm facing Lake Whitney. I'm actually in a hotel right now.
Wow.
Streaming live from Lake Whitney White Bluff Resort. So it's beautiful out here. Yeah. So
that's really great.
I know, right? I know you've been busy ever since you became the president of PNAMH. But before we get to, of course, our topic or our, you know, leadership mantra or topic for tonight, we want to get to know you first. So, Jonathan, or can I just call you Jojo? Is that okay?
Yeah, it would be easy. Yeah.
All right, Jojo. Give us a little bit of background about you. Where are you from, the Philippines? And how many siblings you have? Yeah, just a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I'll be doing a little bit of maalaala mo kaya.
Okay. Yes.
So, born and raised in Manila. We call that place Bangbang. Bangbang, Santa Cruz. I think most Filipinos or most the not so young know about the Bangbang, which is near the Santa Cruz area, Escolta, and also Recto. Known for, I think during my time, when you call Pares or when you call Tapsilog, Tapsilog, I think, I'm not sure if it is invented in my place, but there was a parang karinderya, they call it Lola Ellis. It's known for that, that the Tapsilog and then Pares on the side after you hit the party or after you're done, you go to that place. Then you can just eat, let's say, a $1 meal or something. Or I don't know how much was it way back when, but... so that's my stomping ground in Manila. I was born there way back. There's like four of us in our family, but my dad is Chinese, so he has several families ahead of us. So we're the last one, talking about my dad, but he passed away way back to right after I graduated. Oh, right before I graduated college. So I graduated college in Pamantasan ng Lungsod ng Maynila, and then a purebred public school student from grade school down to college. I haven't had a chance to go to any private school, so I haven't experienced that one. I always say in my life or in my studies in the Philippines, I only pay for at least 5,000 pesos. 5,000 pesos that includes my elementary up to college. Because during college, it's just 100 pesos or 200 pesos for us to do our tuition fee, just for the miscellaneous, something like that. I think the highest...
We have so much in common.
Product of public school, which is so great, right?
And you know, not only that, Jojo, I'm like, wow, I'm listening to you. So your dad is Chinese. Did you know my grandfather on my mother's side was also Chinese? And my grandma was not the first family either. He had children in China, and then he had a son in Bicol. And then he met my grandma in Ilocos. So we have so much in common, and I probably spent less than 5,000 pesos on my whole school too. I mean, schooling from elementary up to college, because I graduated from like a state university, you know, right? In the Philippines.
Yeah. So, that's why I included the pamasahe and everything. Okay. So that includes that too. So yeah, 5,000 pesos. Every time that I speak to my cousins and all, that's like not even a public school student, so they cannot relate.
Yeah. So how is your childhood experience and growing up inspired you to become a nurse? I mean, did you always want to become a nurse?
So that's a good question. So during that time, I was thinking maybe I should go to the University of the Philippines way back when. I was thinking of getting I wanted to be an attorney or a lawyer. Was thinking of doing that, so I even went to University of the Philippines in Quezon City and then did their exam for political science during that time. But it was a long ride coming from Santa Cruz going to Quezon City. And then how many stops that I have to do in order for me to get to UP. So that's my main thing that I'm like, oh, I cannot do this every time. Because I got used to, if I went to my elementary school, I have to walk like 2 blocks away. So that's how I do it. And then going to high school, I have to walk 4 blocks away. So 4 blocks, I'm in high school. And then in college, in Pamantasan, I just have to ride 1 jeepney and I'm at Pamantasan already, because that's the only budget that you can afford. Either you walk or just 1 ride and then that's it. Or you you use the stribo, your sabit lang, diba?
Wow, Wow, that's profound. I know. It seems like I'm listening to my own story. Anyway, you know, we already have a lot of comments. So I just want to read them, okay, before we move on. We have a comment from Ruby Vergara. She says, good evening, Texas, watching from the Philippines. Thank you, Ruby. And of course, Ruby. Attorney Orlando Diz and Guda. Hi. And then Arceli Estariha, hello, good morning from the Philippines. Then we have, I know, Dennis Estariha, good morning, Ma'am MJ and sir.
Good morning, Dennis.
Yeah, and then of course, Joanne, good morning po, Ma'am MJ and Sir Jonathan from Philippines. Yeah,
thank you.
I know. And of course, Dr. Carly D, good evening, MJ. Good evening, Dr. Carly D. Thank you for watching. So it seems like, you know, we had it. You know, life in the Philippines growing up, we seem to have experienced the same hardships, because we weren't born with silver spoon in our mouths, right? Seems like, and I kind of relate. But with your experience as childhood experiences and everything, were you always like this good as a leader, like growing up in elementary school, high school, and college? What kind of leadership roles did you assume, like in classes or your school?
Okay. I think during, was it in elementary or high school? Maybe in high school. Oh, in elementary, there's like a Boy Scout, right? Uh-huh. So I got to be the highest Boy Scout in elementary, so that I can have an office and I can have like a place where I can just, you know, go around and then do whatever. Because you need to be in the, our elementary has, I don't know, how many do we have in our school? There's like morning section and then afternoon sections, because there's a lot of us. So let's say during elementary, there's like 6,000 or 7,000 that graduated in elementary. And then in high school, we have like more than 50 sections. more than 50. And then excluded is our section, which is Section A and Section B. So either the top two sections that you will have, because if you're on the 50th section, you will be staying in school like late night. So you will be at the very bottom of the poll. So you have to be on the top section in order for you to have all these experiences and all the things that can be given to you as a student. I think, what did I do? I was one of the orator. You call it orator or something.
Okay.
Went to different schools in order for you, you know, for you to get that award or whatever plaque.
You competed. You competed with other schools.
So you have to do like the within your region or within your area in Manila, and then you need to represent Manila in another category, and then you have to represent the region to whatever. And then it stops there because you cannot go that far because it costs a lot for you to travel. So
yeah, I wonder, maybe we competed. What year? Because I mean, I'm not kidding. I did that too. Like, I was an orator. I had to, like, division champion, and then you go to the regional, and then I went as far as national. I remember our national competition was, I think, at Pamantasan Lungsod ng Maynila when I competed for the national. But did we compete? Maybe we did.
Maybe, I don't know. I remember the Pilam Live thing that there's like only a few of us selected. Already from whatever, so that was in high school. This one is in high school. Went to Pilam Live. There's no mic, no nothing. We'll be on the stage, and the judges will be at the very back for them to hear you, right? They need to make sure that whatever you're saying, that they can hear it as loud as you can. And then the main thing that I remember is that, of course, you have to bring your audience, because there's nobody that you cannot afford just to bring your mom or just to bring whoever. So you have to, I have to ask our professor or our teacher then if they can go to Pilam Live. So that's, I think the LRT is functioning that time. So we were able to get our, all of our classmates just to attend. Because the schools that we are competing are mostly private. So they bring their a lot of delegates to that. So please, you have somebody who will clap for you.
That's good. That's good. Well, anyway, Jonathan, is getting so interesting. But I'm like, I'm not kidding. As if I'm listening to myself, listening to you. Because it seems like we went through the same stuff growing up. But before we go, before we move on, let's pause for a short break. We'll be back. All right, well, back. Anyway, we have a question from Attorney Orlando Deason. Why are there many Philippine nursing associations in Houston? Any plan to uniting them into one PNA in Houston?
Oh, okay.
Do you want to answer that?
Okay, so that's really good. So in Houston, we have two. One from North Houston and then one from Metro Houston. But North Houston is previously a subchapter of PNA Metro Houston. But they're based on the bylaws of the national organization. I think they're within the 30-mile radius. So if you are away from 30 miles or above 30 miles, then you can form your own chapter. So what we did was we asked, of course, they were our subchapter for quite some time. And then when we know that they can do it on their own, which is why not, right? Just like what you're saying, be bold and why not? And we want them to lead their group in the North area. So we asked them, maybe you can do it on your own now. You don't have to be a subchapter for us. So similarly, what we did with the Texas Triangle, which is in Beaumont, we started it with them as our subchapter. But after a while, that they learned the ropes and everything, we asked them or we told them that they can do it on their own. So similarly, when you have a baby, when they're like, they can walk, they can go to wherever, now they can be their own chapter and then find their path, right? And then what we do now is we collaborate. We have to make sure that everything that we do here, we share it with them. We try to role model for most of the things that we do. But of course, we as a chapter or we as an organization have our own plans, our own mantra for how many years or whoever's going to lead us, that's the direction that we're going to take, right? So
yes. Yes. I'm and also
your question.
Yeah, and to piggyback, and just to address Attorney Orly's question, of course, it's set up like this to be more, you know, to cater to different geographical locations of nurses, because we have meetings, so it's easier for them. Because if, say, for example, imagine in Beaumont, Texas, if they come to the Metro Houston area, then that's going to be a little bit of a hassle and a little bit of a problem. So I think we're geographically, we create this many PNA or Philippine Nurses Associations. And just for Attorney Orly, you know, it's national. So we have a lot of different chapters in PNA. So it's set up like that as a national organization. Yeah. Well, going back, so we've learned about you already. So it seems like you're growing up, you were an orator, you were a Boy Scout leader. I mean, you had a little bit of hard life too in the Philippines, and you spent what, less than $100 just for your whole education, just like me. So now fast forward, coming to the U.S. So tell us, when did you come to the United States and how? Which employer hired you, or how did you come to the United States and when?
Okay, so this was way back in 2004. So mm-hmm. back in the Philippines, my career started at St. Luke's St. Luke's Medical Center in Quezon City. Mm-hmm. I became a manager, et cetera, et cetera. And then I got to be one of the speakers in this international conference where I met Annabel Borromeo. I'm not mm-hmm. sure if you know her. So I met her there, and then she asked me, hey, why not just join me? I'm planning to open up hospital. So uh-huh. what we did then, I applied, of course, you know me. During that time, you just hit whatever. So I applied there, and then to cut the story, we opened up Asian Hospital and Medical Center in 2001. So we set up, I was trained here in the United States at Washington, D.C., in Washington Adventist Hospital, where Dr. Garcia is doing practice. So after all those things, Annabel told me, because she's my mentor, etc. Uh-huh. She's, you know what, you need to expose yourself in the U.S. Uh-huh. You need to be at least, you can come back anytime that you want. We'll still be here. But you need to expose yourself to the U.S. You need to know more things, etc. Because we are like the directors at Asian Hospital. Mm-hmm. We're the pioneer. We open it up. But she said that you will learn a lot more. And mm-hmm. You'll be exposed to a lot more things that probably the Philippines might not be as... the exposure that you have is a little bit limited because mm-hmm. At that age... During that time, of course, we're all young, right? You got to this position already. And then I'm like, wow. What else are you going to hit? Uh-huh. You're going to do this. So I became a consultant. We opened up schools of nursing first during that time because it was the need for the U.S. because there's a lot of nurses that they need. So we opened up a lot of schools of nursing, mm-hmm. labs, et cetera, et cetera. And then after that, I moved here 2004 with Annabelle's help also because she has a company that does that. So going straight as a direct hire for St. Luke's Episcopal Hospital. So I started at St. Luke's I started in 6 Kulibi, which is an interventional unit, but mm-hmm. after they told me that the ICU is opening up. So if I wanted to go to the ICU instead of finishing mm-hmm. my training at 6 Kulibi. So I said yes. So got my training in critical care. And then after a year, I think, or 2 years, sorry, at least 2 years in 6 Kulibi, 6 Kulibi A, there was an opening in nursing education as a clinical mm-hmm. educator, supposedly for nursing informatics. So, mm-hmm. of course, you know me, I would just apply. So I applied, and then that's the rest of history. Yeah.
Wow. Jonathan, I don't know what's going on tonight. I'm not kidding. I don't really know. But, you know, I got hired at Asian Hospital before I came here. I mean, I've passed. I got interviewed. I was supposed to work there. But I came here 2003. I'm not kidding. Asian uh-huh. Hospital, I got, yes. Yeah. So what's wrong? Why are we now meeting? I'm just kidding. It's not that we just met, but it's like a lot of things like we, coincidences or, you know, because I promise you, I did. Asian Hospital, I was supposed to work there. But then my visa came 2003, so I came to the U.S. Anyway, let me read some more comments before we find out a lot of our common things together. Okay, so Rochelle DeSeco from the Philippines says, good evening, Texas. And of course, Mark Carlo DeSeco, good evening, watching from Pangasinan. And Jojo Canaria, good evening, MJ. Well, good evening, thank you. And again from Mark Carlo DeSeco, good morning, watching from Pangasinan. See, we have a lot of viewers tonight. Thank you all so much. And as I've said earlier, the more comments you have, the more chances of you winning for our prize at the end of the show. Wow. I mean, I'm like, what's going on, Jonathan? I think we have one more question before we go on a break. So, because you have a lot of titles in your name, I'm like, do you always love studying? Because now, of course, after BSN, you have to have your master's, and now you got your DNP too. How do you all do that, being a manager in a lot of...
I know. I think because I moved to nursing education, here in our facility, it's like it guided you towards further education, right? So, so you're thinking, oh, maybe I can do that too. Maybe I can. And then for me, I love to travel a lot, so I was thinking, oh, maybe I can do one out of state, which is bad because out of state means that you're paying a lot more. it's not a discounted rate. And then, of course, all my years, I've been in public school. Uh-huh. And I was thinking, maybe I should be doing something like, I wanted to go to a private school. Uh-huh. So So I applied at Loyola University in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, maybe I can just go to New Orleans because it's just a 4 hours drive or mm-hmm. 5 hours drive to go to New Orleans. I can go there during the weekend for my studies and et cetera, et cetera. So I tried that. And then lo and behold, I passed several of their interviews. I did not even know that it's too much of a hassle for you to go out of state for your interviews and all. And then for my master's. So I completed my master's there. And then after completing it, I'm like, when I was, I got an award from PNAA, our national organization. And then I was awarded in Hawaii. And then accidentally, they call me Dr. Jonathan DiComo during that time.
So you had to do it.
Right. And I was like, oh, it sounded nice. So it was an impetus because I'm like, oh, it sounded nice to be called doctor during that time. So I'm like, well, maybe I can go for my doctorate. So that's the prime move for me to go to my doctorate. And I was thinking, oh, maybe Loyola in Chicago because I love to travel. Mm-hmm. So maybe Loyola in Chicago is like just a sister university of Loyola. So I can just transfer my records and everything, then I should be okay. But it seems not. I have to do the dueling, the interviews again with several of the professors and then the dean. Why I have to do that? I have to write. And then that's history. So I graduated. And then learning from all this, And then some of my friends is doing their masters, some online, and then they did not even experience anything that I experienced. I'm like, I should have done only my schooling online.
You were hitting two birds with one stone. You love education, you love travel, and so that's it. Anyway, we're gonna go for another short break, and we will be back.
In a world filled with fleeting moments, there's beauty waiting to be captured. My name is Christian, and I specialize in immortalizing your most precious memories. From elegant weddings to vibrant events and timeless portraits, I'm here to make every moment unforgettable. Let me tell your story through the lens. Contact me today and let's create magic together.
All right, we're back and we have more comments from Tita Delia Ligot. Good evening, Texas. Hello, MJ and Jonathan. May God bless you always. Wow, thank you po, Tita Delia. And from Edward DeSeco, good morning po, watching from Quezon City. See, somebody from Quezon City is watching. Thank you for watching. So, wow, now you're a doctor, right? So what challenges, you know, just going from, of course, you were already like high in leadership when you from the Philippines and you came here and you went back to bedside nursing and then you went to education. What difference do you think is the leadership in the Philippines and coming here and starting from another, you know, from different level? Did you encounter any such challenges?
There's a lot. One thing, because I was on this position in the Philippines and then going back here and then as a bedside nurse, it's humbling, right? Mm-hmm. And then one thing, you'll be like, oh, don't tell them that you'll be taking NCLEX. Don't tell them that you'll be doing this because just in case if you fail, then you will feel ashamed because you'll be like, and then you have to have something on your back telling them, oh, just in case if I fail, I'll tell them because I'm not at the bedside for a long time, so I'm not exposed. So all those things that's coming to your mind. So it's really you that is like a challenge for myself. But as soon as I come back to the bedside, the good thing is that most of the equipment that we have at St. Luke's, we have it also at Asian Hospital.
Yeah.
So I got that exposure because I was the one buying all those equipment. I have to test them before I sign for it, et cetera, et cetera. So, which is a plus for me because at least it's not something that they always think of, that you're from the Philippines, you don't know any of this equipment. Mm-hmm. You don't know any of the devices because you're probably from the province or something. But of course, me, I would just be like, no, I know that. I can teach you how to do it if you want. Because, yeah, so all those stuff. But the challenge is more on when I became a charge nurse in the unit because it's a brand new unit. So we are so quick in doing that charge nursing. I thought that I'm the manager of the unit. So every time it's beyond me now telling them, or beyond me as a charge nurse, asking them to change their behavior, to change this, et cetera, et cetera. So I have to call myself every time that I'm doing that because I'm not that anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And then here, it's totally different the way they ask you things, the way you're providing care to the patient. One time during the early days, they will be like, of course, you'll be asking a lot of questions because you're in the ICU, right? And then your patient is in cardiac ICU. So luckily, they can still talk, etc. So, but they will be telling you some words, expressions like you don't even know. Like, for example, give me some slack. And then you will be answering them, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have that here. And you don't even know, right, what you're talking about. So normally I would just go out and then ask my coworker, hey, Jimmy, he told me give him some slack. No, we don't have slack here. And then Jeannie will just be laughing at me. And then I have a patient, I think a Latina. She was asking me about, telling me that, Dolor.
Dolor, yeah.
You have a daughter named Dolor? good thing that another coworker will be telling me, Jonathan, the lore means
it's
pain. Okay, I need to get her nitroglycerin then. So those are some of our challenges for me.
Language barrier, yeah.
The idioms that they're using, colloquial term that they're using, even some that you would not even think that they are, they look down on us. A little bit of that R thing. They would be telling you something in front of everybody else. They'll be like, hey, don't you see anything different here inside the room? I think you're the only one who looks like that. Something like that.
How did you take in those? I mean, like,
I'm like, me, I don't care.
Yeah.
What I always think, laughing, or at the back of your mind, whatever's the dollar conversion rate today, that's how I would treat you. No, I'm just joking. normally, it's just for us to laugh it out, right? Mm-hmm. Because, and then share it. I share it a lot to my coworkers or my friends. That's why I have a lot of good friends here. I make sure that I share it because if you just internalize it, your mind will just explode. As soon as I get out, I will tell it even to my coworkers, hey, this lady just told me this. What do you think I should be doing? And then, of course, they will be coming to defend you, et cetera, which is so nice too for mm-hmm. our coworkers, which is a good thing because we became a family mm-hmm. during that time when you share those things with them, which is really good. So that's how I deal with it. And then some employees, because when I applied, let's say, to nursing education during that time, and I only have 2 years experience here in the United mm-hmm. States in the ICU, your co-Filipino will be telling you something else too. Mm-hmm. Hey, they will be telling you, hey, you're so boastful. How come you will be applying? You only have 2.5 years or 2 years experience. Us, we have 10, 15, 20 years. And
wow.
we cannot put it in our mind that we can do that. I'm like,
wow, you know, that's the mentality again that we brought here, the crab mentality, you know, when our people, fellow Filipino trying to, you know, go up in the ladder, and they're trying, instead of them encouraging us, sometimes people are not happy for us. But seems like those experiences, though, have made you or helped you become a better leader, because correct. You're right. You had these humbling experiences. And for you to be a great leader, sometimes you have to be a good follower first, right? You know what? Before we move on to that, we have a lot of comments. I'm just going to read them quickly, okay? From Dennis Estaria, I'm happy to cheering today. And then Arceli Estarija, nice job, keep it up po, and God bless. And then Eduard DeSeco, hello po, watching from work. Wow, we don't want you to get fired, Eduard, so make sure that you don't get caught. I'm just kidding. Anyway, good evening, Texas. God bless your show. Thank you so much. And we have a comment and question from Attorney Orlando Dizon. We have handled cases involving breach of contract by nurses in federal court, including consultation from many newly arrived nurses looking to break free from their agency contracts. What advice would you give to these nurses who wish to terminate their contracts in order to be directly employed and earn $80 per hour rather than the current $30 per hour rate from their agency employers? Jonathan, what can you say?
Okay. So two things. So you start from the very beginning and then also look at it now that you have that concern. So first off, we always make sure that when we say something to our soon-to-be nurses from the Philippines, we have to make sure that we are transparent. What are the things that we have here? We assess them in terms of, do they have family outside of Houston or anywhere? Because most likely their family is the one feeding them information, right? There's no guarantee that they would stay, as always. But what we try to make sure is they need to learn what we currently have as a city or as a state, that you cannot compare it with other city too. So we provide them comparison of the living condition, taxes, and all, so that they would understand that. And then tell them also, why is your rate only 30 compared to the $80 that other areas would be providing you, especially when you're traveling or something? What are the things that, the pros and cons of that? So we need to make sure that they understand before they deal with it. But for now that you have this problem, so what advice can you tell them? I'm like, one, representation, meaning our face as Filipinos, again, it's being damaged because we cannot afford, once we sign something, it's our name and signature, but it's our country that we are representing too, right? On all those contracts that we're signing. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that we assess everything before we jump on, before we do the final step, because we, for most of our I call them the young ones now, or the, yeah, we're not so young anymore. They don't think of the repercussion of what they're going to do after, right? They would just hit to whatever and then don't even think that, oh, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen after this. I have to pay this. I have to do this. I have to do et cetera, et cetera. They are only thinking that, oh, I love the 80 compared to my $30, but this is what I have. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, contentment cannot be achieved, especially if we somebody's feeding us something else, right?
So if we are comparing. If we are comparing, right, then we always feel short. Yeah.
Correct. So as always, I keep on telling them, why do you think, is it an American dream if you are in New York, but you are in a one-bedroom apartment with everything else, with near the sewage or near wherever, or something that as soon as you turn left, that would be your restroom. As soon as you turn right, that would be your kitchen. As soon as you turn again at the back, that's my bedroom or something. Is it the American dream that you wanted, or a house like this? So for us, it's more on that comparison, but for them, because what they see in the movies is totally different, and then what they see actually, or what they experience actually in that area is totally different too. So if somebody's feeding them some information, well and good for them, because that's how they deal with it, right? Or that's how they experience it, or that's how they think of it. But always provide them all the perspective and their repercussion of what will happen after.
Yeah, that's true. And then we have, I'm just gonna read a few more comments and then we're going to go for another break. So from Maricar Ligot Hamilto or Jamito, good morning po, and shout out po from Pozorubio, Pangasinan. And then from Joan Estarija, thank you for cheering Texas and God bless to all po. And then Amy Ligot, good evening Texas, happy watching. All right, thank you for all your comments, and let's go for another short break and we'll be back. See you in a bit. Again, as you have said earlier, and just to piggyback, I think for those nurses, for me, because to me, I honor the contract. You know what I mean? And I'm just grateful I'm here. But, you know, some people may have different situations that I have to get out of the contract. But as Jonathan has said, you just have to weigh the pros and cons, and you have to look at the bigger picture. But anyhow, I know with all your experiences, Jonathan, it seems like, I believe, to me, I don't know, I want to ask you, are leaders born or made? Because you have been, and I believe that, you know, our experiences in life actually prepare us or set us up for bigger things. So what do you think about your experience being, you know, having that kind of childhood and all experiences in the Philippines, that you already were at the top of your career and you came here, became a bedside nurse, but then you again went up the ladder and everything. But you look at you now, you're the new president of the Philippine Nurses Association of Metro Houston, and you are like, you are this great leader, speaker and all. So are leaders born or made?
I think it's innate in all of us to become a leader in one way, right? So we were born, or it's within us as always to take that challenge. But of course, we're made along the way. Just like what you said, all the exposures that we have either would break you or mold you or make you like a pearl. Right. So every time that the talaba will have those sand, of course, it hurts a lot. And then you have to spit it out. Right. Uh-huh. It's more on the spit that you're doing of all those negative things that happened to you. But it as soon as that oyster will bring out that magical pearl, that's how you were made. Right. That's my thing, is that you were born with that seed. But the thing there is how you take all those things. That's how you are made now.
That's right.
Whatever you had those experience, either bad or good, however you see it, that's what you're going to show when you become a leader in your organization or in your facility.
That's right. Because, you know, it's like... That's just like what you said. Everybody has greatness or in them. We have something special. Everyone has something special. It's up to us to take that up and claim it and leave it. And you are leaving your greatness. You are leaving your calling. So tell me about one PNAMH, one family. Your mantra as the new president of the Philippine Nurses Association of Metro Houston. Tell us about that more.
Okay. So we've been in existence for 40 plus years. Next year, we will be 45th, 45 years in Houston. And then things happen along the way. Of course, we have so many past presidents. Each one of them have their own mantra, have their own priorities, etc. But what I've seen along the way is that we haven't touched technology that much, or we haven't touched this that much, or we haven't expanded our network that much. So that's on my mind. So I'm thinking we need to unite again as one PNAMH, because we wanted to hit, because there's how many hospitals here in Houston area, and then how many Filipino nurses who are working here at the medical center, right? And we haven't touched even the tip, right? Yeah. We haven't even touched that. So when we started, there's only like 120, 90, 100 plus, etc. And then good thing for Alaysa, she's really good in making sure that we have members and all those stuff. So... I'm sorry, it's another call, but can you still see me?
Yes.
Okay. I thought that I lost you. So so during that time, we have to make sure that we unite all PNAMH, all Filipino nurses here in Metro Houston, and become part of our family, right? Part of our organization. So one PNAMH. And then another thing, we wanted to be one family, because for family, it's our mantra. F for forward thinking. We have to make sure that we look forward. We have to go beyond what we've been doing. We need to be agile. We need to move as quickly as possible, because this is our moment. Think about what happened during pandemic, how great it is as nurses, our reputation, even up to now, we have to make sure that we move as quickly as possible and then share that limelight with other nursing organizations. Mm-hmm. And we have to make sure that we're meaningful. We're not only here to do all these services, but we have to make sure we mind our time, our members, and all the things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. We need to be innovative, mm-hmm. which is the I, and we need to be a continuous learner, mm-hmm. learning for the L, and then youthful, because just like you and me, we're so young. We cannot be old, or look at all of our members that are still joining us, even during gala, in mm-hmm. other Filipino organizations, you would see them how great they are. And then I wanted to make sure that we don't, we are not ashamed of our culture. We are mm-hmm. not ashamed of our family, because some will always be thinking, oh, that's another Filipino organization. They would just be eating. They would just be talking about one another. They would just be socializing. They would just be taking a lot of pictures and have a big, big buffet. And for me, that's our culture. We have to celebrate that. That's mm-hmm. how we involve our community. That's how we take care of them. Because see how it is in our organization. We are onto that wellness. We don't even know, but we love all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how we take care of our mind. That's how we take care of our members. So that's, for me, our well-being, right?
That's right. Yeah, and it's like, as you said, we are nurses in a foreign country, right? So we have to bring our culture here. We have to keep it so we enjoy. And why? There's no shame in being a Filipino nurse. We should be proud, because based on my experience and having worked in different hospitals, a lot of patients prefer Filipino nurses because they know that we are caring, you know, we take care of our patients, and that's something to be proud of. And having the Philippine Nurses Association Metro Houston as one family is bringing up the culture of the Philippines and just showing that we Filipinos, wherever we are one. And, you know, we have more messages, and we are almost like to the end, but let me just read the few messages and then I'll ask you, one last question. Elmi Ligot, good evening, Texas. Happy watching. And then Blessed Monday, Texas, watching from Sydney, from RL Ligot, Genganya. Yes. And then from Attorney Orly Dizon. Last question. In the United States, every hospital has Filipino nurses. What is your opinion on medical TV shows that do not feature Filipino nurses as portrayed or actors? Jonathan.
For me, we have to make sure that we represent, right? We should not be just be crying every time that we don't see our faces or our lookalike in most of those shows, because we need to be represented, right? For us, we wanted to make sure that we're represented. But every time that they represent us, it's more on that cliche things, right? The good thing is that some other Filipinos now is breaking it, right? Uh-huh. Say the one that they did in Broadway, from Lea Salonga, from it's all Filipino cast. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, just like what Attorney is saying, like in Grey's Anatomy, there's one time that they have shown a Filipino seems to be during that time, but it's so, it's too much of a hassle for us to think of that. But for me, I wanted to be represented, because for us, most of us doesn't even mind calling them, making sure that we send them letters that, hey, we are this much, or we are in Seattle, this is the number of Filipino nurses. Just like here in Texas, when I'm trying to find out how many Filipino nurses that we have, it's not a question that they ask for our licensure. Mm-hmm. For race and all, not even Filipino. Probably in California they ask that, but here they don't. So we're part of that mix, that Asian mix, mm-hmm. that there's like this number of Asians here in Texas as an RN. So I sent them another letter asking them, can you not even ask if they're Filipino descent or something? Because we as an organization or we as a group wanted to know how many Filipino nurses here in Texas, right? So we need to make sure that we try to ask the government or ask where we are for us to be represented. But if we're just going to, let's say on chat or something, make sure that our voices is heard in a platform. Yes.
That's
or
right.
in a group that can hear us, right? So yeah. That's another thing that we wanted to work on with us again as an organization. If we can appeal again, if we can make a letter to our congressman or senator to ask those questions, right? And then us to know who amongst our nurses here are really Filipino or Filipino descent.
Yeah, so you mean we need to be seen. So Attorney Orly, don't worry. I'm going to apply. I'm going to audition. I'm just kidding. No, I think that's right. Because they don't know how many Filipino nurses all over the U.S., but there are tons. I'm not kidding. Anyway, you know what? We're actually a little bit over time. And I hope you all don't mind who are watching. And I hope you don't mind Attorney. Don't mind Dr. Gicomo. But I would like to read the last comment before we do the wheel. And then I will ask you to just give your final thoughts and final encouraging or inspirational words to our viewers. So, Fe Veranga Maniago, good day watching here in Manaol, Pangasinan. Maraming salamat po, Ate Fe. Anyway, yeah, Jonathan, before we're gonna pick our winner. Let's see. Wow, Alexis Olivero. Congratulations. You will be contacted on how you will claim your prize. But Dr. Gicomo, I know we don't have enough time. It seems like we need a couple of hours. But it's been a pleasure having you in the show tonight. Thank you so much for sharing your insights about leadership and sharing your beautiful story that I'm very sure our viewers and listeners have been inspired. See, you know, we are here in Be Bold, Why Not? As a platform for everybody who would want to be heard, who would want to be seen, because we want you to be bold in taking charge of your life and claiming your greatness. So, Dr. Gicomo, what last words can you say to our viewers before we end the show?
So for me, your life experiences should mold you. Think of it as always a positive thing that happened to you. Even though all those things makes you cry, makes you do this, but you learn from it. I always think that my childhood, even though it's not as, it's more of most of us Filipinos, but for me, I take it as something that is always positive. And I always laugh every time that I'm reminded that, hey, I was doing that before. And I love it, right? I always make sure that every experience that you have, either bad or always bad or something, always laugh at, think of it as a positive thing. And it will mold you to do better things. And when you always, when you have the chance to look back at all these things that happened to you, you know that you, it will dawn on you that, hey, now I need to share. Now I need to help our community. Now I have to go back to the Philippines and provide all the services, etc. So always be mindful of those things. Always be grateful from where you came from, and always try to represent not only your family, but your country, right? Wow. So that's our thing. And then always be bold and then lead with passion.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gicomo. And again, to all our viewers tonight, maraming salamat po. Thank you so much for watching Be Bold. And as Dr. Gicomo had said, whatever experiences you have, you know, think of it as a positive one. Because let me leave you with this. The bigger the failure, the harder the hardship, the bigger is success as well. And the more joy you have, and for you, us to have that kind of life so we can share and bless others as well. So again, thank you so much for joining Be Bold, Why Not? Your nurse here, MJ, saying good night and God bless everyone. Thank you.